Pastor Varun and Pastor Dalla Hopperset would like to welcome you to the following message from New Hope International Church, Seattle, Washington. Here is Pastor Lau's dynamic teaching that will change your life with love, hope, and peace in Jesus Christ.
In fact, I want to encourage all of you. When you read the Bible, or when you study the Bible, or when you study certain subjects, and you hear the Word of God, you preach the Word of God, you get into the Word of God, many times what you hear, or what you study, or what you know, is just like a knowledge up here. It's like something you know about. But if you keep talking, you keep listening, and you keep reading, after a while, that message or that passage just dawn on you and become so real to you, and become like the light just turn on like this. And, oh, I missed this for a long time. I just know about it, but I didn't really understand deep in my spirit. This message began to go deep into my spirit lately because I prepared the teaching about the laying on of hand. And not only that, God began to speak to me the power of this passage. In Mark chapter 16, I will read actually from the PowerPoint. You will see verse 18, but I'm going to read from verse 15. And Jesus said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." This is a command to every believer that we must go and preach the gospel. I pray that one day, many students in this room, many young people in this room, and many old people in this room, and they say, you can think about the age yourself. I don't have to say. Many old people and young people in this room will go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I don't mind if you leave this church to go and preach the gospel. Don't go leave this church because you get mad at somebody. You go because you want to preach the gospel. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. The Bible did not say only pastor or preacher, but those who believe. How many people believe in Jesus in this room? You are a candidate to preach the gospel and have these signs follow you. In my name, they will cast out demons. I pray that every one of you will know how to cast out demons. In my name, they will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. What dawns on me about this message is that our church need to recognize and remember that we must preach the gospel. Amen. Either you go out, preach yourself, or you send somebody to preach, or we make a team and set up a party and somebody preach the gospel, or set up some function and preach the gospel. We need to preach the gospel. And the Bible promises us that if we preach the gospel, we will see signs and wonders. We will see demons come out. We will see the sick healed. In fact, you don't need a special title in the church to lay hand on the sick to get them healed. But if you really preach the gospel and you lay hand on the sick with faith and in the name of Jesus, you will see healing happen. Amen. How many people know that a lot of people in the world are sick right now? How many people know that many people have a long list of medication when they're sick, go to see the doctor? Some people will carry around a big bag with many bottles of medication. A lot of people need healing. And God gives us the privilege to lay hand on the sick if we preach the gospel. Because of this passage, lately I believe that if I go to any city and I preach the gospel and lay hand on the sick, they shall recover. And that's what happened in Las Vegas. A lot of people recover because we preach the gospel and we lay hand on the sick. Why don't you lift your hand up like this and you say to your hand, "My hand can lay on the sick when I preach the gospel. And in the name of Jesus, they shall recover. They shall be made well. They will be made whole. God will use my hand in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you believe that? I believe that with all my heart now that we're going to see more healing happen in the ministry here. Amen. In your care group. It can happen in your care group. If you preach the gospel, if you share the message of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you lay hand on your friend, they shall be healed. Amen. Hallelujah. Now tonight we're going to learn about healing through the laying on of hand. The message will not be that long. But I want to share with you about laying on of hand and healing the sick. The question come up this way that if you lay hand on the sick, what is the process that God heal people? What is the precise process that God uses to heal people through the laying on of hand? Have you ever thought about that? That the patient will be healed suddenly, immediately? Or how it happened? Tonight I want to explain to you about this issue. But before we go into that direction, let me read this scripture to you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 6. And there are diversities of activities. But it is the same God, meaning the same Holy Spirit, who works all in all. The Bible says it this way. When the Holy Spirit, the 1 Corinthians chapter 12 was talking about the gift of the Holy Spirit, talking about the manifestation of the Holy Spirit through your life. And God said that when the Holy Spirit works through you, there are diversities of operations. There are diversities of manifestations. God will work through you in certain situations in a different way. You cannot expect to have a formula that everything going to happen the same way every time. But God will work with different ways, in different ways, and with diversities of activities. And this principle is applied to everything, including teaching, preaching, giving, showing mercy, prophecy, interpretation, prophesizing in tongue, or whatever that God is working through you by the Spirit. But tonight we're going to emphasize about healing. So the supernatural gift of healing or the manifestation of healing can happen in a different ways. For example, the healing can happen instantly. The laying on of hand was done. They were healed immediately. But sometimes the healing can happen gradually. Or the healing can happen many months later. God can do whatever He wants to. There are diversities of activities. Sometimes people may feel the power flow to them. But sometimes people may not feel anything. They don't feel anything when you lay hand on them. They don't feel anything. But God can heal them anyway. So there are many ways that God heals people. But I just want to categorize the healing through the laying on of hand into two ways. Number one way is that the laying on of hand was done by a man or a woman who has the gift or the supernatural manifestation of healing. That person have the gift of healing. And when that person lay hand on the sick, the power of healing went through or goes through the hand into the person. And that person can feel the anointing, feel the electricity, or feel the power come through them. I remember the first time I was laid hand by Benny Hinn in Orlando. That's the first time I went to meet Benny Hinn. And when I walk out to be laid hand on, when he lay hand on me, I feel the kind of electrical feeling come to me, and I felt under the power when they picked me up right away, because in his meeting, he didn't allow people to lay down for a long time. Too many people to lay down. So he picked me up. But when I got up, I was drunk, and I feel the whole body just filled with the power, just like the whole body, I feel the power of God. So it's clear that that man has the anointing of healing, has the supernatural manifestation of power of healing in him. That's one way that you feel it. You feel the power, the dunamis, or the power of God. But the second way that God do, you lay hand. The second way that God is healing people through the laying on of hand is that when you lay hand, the person who received the laying on of hand feels nothing. But you lay hand by faith in the name of Jesus Christ. That's what happened to me when I shared last Sunday or two Sundays ago, that when I had a headache 2-3 weeks ago, Pastor Da lay hand on me in the airplane, and the pain didn't go away instantly, but 15 minutes later, it just disappeared. I didn't feel anything, but I knew that she laid hand on me by faith. And at that time, I received by faith. I believe that the laying on of hand will bring healing on me. So I received by faith without any feeling at all. But God still healed us through the laying on of hand by faith. Everyone say with me, by the anointing, by the tangible power. That's number one. Number two, by faith. Amen. So healing can come in a gradual way or can come instantly. But the key is this, that when you minister the laying on of hand, either for healing or for deliverance, for whatever, you need to do it by faith. Everyone say faith. It's very important that you do it by faith. And you receive it by faith. God works when you have faith. Don't come out to be prayed for just because I want to feel something for fun. But you receive something by faith and you lay hand by faith. And that's why it's so important to keep hearing the word of God about faith, about healing, about the power of God. Because the more you hear, the more you understand, the more faith gonna come up in your heart. Amen. We need to build faith in the area of supernatural thing. So when you lay hand on people, sometimes they don't get healed right away. Or they may be healed partially. What do we need to do if you don't get healed right away? You need to keep pressing in. Keep pressing in. You can come out to the prayer line to be prayed for healing 100 times. Don't think that, okay, God, you don't heal me first time, I give up. If you don't get healed the first time, keep coming out until God heal you. Or if you get only partial healing, the symptom goes away only partially. What you need to do is to keep the faith inside. Don't lose faith. And keep pressing in to have faith. Because if you keep faith on the inside of you, eventually the healing will become consummated or become complete. What happened a lot of time when people get healing only partially? And they go home and they feel discouraged. And they lose faith. And they say, no, I don't think God healed me. I don't think God is powerful. The faith go down and the healing disappear. The symptom come back. So the key is to maintain the faith. The key is to keep pressing in. How do you maintain the faith? Number one, by keep thanking God. Thanking God that, God, I believe you have healed me. I believe that you love me. I believe that you make me the head, not the tail. I'm a covenant woman. I'm a covenant man of God. Healing belongs to me. One of the covenant of God, one of the promise of God is healing. Therefore, I'm going to keep believing that you healed me 2,000 years ago by the stripe of Jesus Christ. I am in the covenant with you. And healing is part of the covenant that God makes with people. Is that he, whoever come to him by faith, God will heal. Amen. So number one, thanking God. Number two, keep confessing the word of God. Keep believing in the word of God. The word of God promises that by his stripes, we were healed. Amen. Keep confessing. Keep believing. Keep maintaining the word of God inside you. Amen. And not only that, you need to keep claiming or keep speaking the things that do not exist as though they did. Let's turn to Romans chapter 4, verse 17. Romans chapter 4, verse 17. This is the way you claim the faith. You walk in faith when you come to the area of supernatural or healing. Romans chapter 4, verse 17. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. You remember when God told Abraham that he would be a father of many nations? He was very old. It's impossible for him to have kids by his age, and his wife to Sarah, in the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. You notice that Abraham changed his name from Abram to Abraham. So every time he called himself Abraham, his wife called him Abraham. He spoke the things that do not exist as though they did. I'm a father of many nations. I'm the father of many nations. He keeps claiming, he keeps speaking the same thing. Therefore, if you are physically sick and the healing is not complete yet after having the laying on of hand come on you by faith, you need to, number one, admit that you are not completely healed yet. You don't lie to yourself that you're healed. Yes, I still have the symptoms. I still have running nose. I still cough. I still have the symptom. I still have knee pain, whatever symptom. You say, I'm not going to lie to myself, but I believe that God has healed me. You claim this way. You speak out. You say, I believe I am healed. I believe God has healed me 2,000 years ago. And I thank God for that healing, even though it hasn't been complete yet. And I speak to my body that my knee, if you have a knee pain, my knee pain is gone. I speak this thing into existence, even though it doesn't exist yet. Amen. You need to speak to yourself, I'm healed. God has healed me. Thank you, Lord. And if you need to be prayed for again, to be laid hand on, go for it. Amen. It's nothing wrong to be laid hand on so many times. In fact, I remember one time when I went to Bangkok, there were many hundred people. I lay hand on almost 70% of people in that room. I lay hand about 3 times. They get up, I lay hand again. Oh, people so hungry for God. They get up and they come and pray. Get lay hand again. They get up and come. And I say, why? When the line going to be finished? Because I lay hand 500 times already. The line come up again. And then when I look back, the same face again. They're just so hungry. They want to just plug in, just being soaked in the Holy Spirit, just want the healing in their life. They're so hungry. I tell you, God doesn't mind. God is happy when people are hungry for Him and want the things from heaven by the laying on of hand or by the Holy Spirit. So in the eyes of God, He loves the hungry. He loves the thirsty. He loves people who pursue Him with all their heart. Amen. So when I lay hand, I was laughing, I was having fun, having a good time, because I see these people hungry for God. Don't think that you bother God if you come out to be prayed for again and again. Amen? I expect to be healthy all the days of my life, and I expect that our members will be healthy all the days of their life. So we're going to keep pressing into God. We're going to kick out every sickness and disease from our life. Amen? We will not accept any sickness and disease. We're going to kick them out by the power of the Holy Spirit. By faith, by laying on of hand in the name of Jesus, we don't accept sickness in this church. Even though sometimes you are sick, but we're going to kick them out. We don't want to live in sickness forever. Amen. We believe in divine health. Amen. Let's look at another scripture about the laying on of hand or about healing. In James chapter 5, verses 14 to 15, is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. You can see this ordinance. This is another ordinance about anointing with oil. You see the difference between laying on of hand. The Bible says laying on of hand the sick in Mark chapter 16. The Bible does not talk about prayer there. Just say, lay hand, and they shall recover. So, biblically, you can lay hand on the sick without praying and believe that they will be healed. You just go to the sick and you lay hand. And in the name of Jesus, I believe you're healed. You don't have to pray a lot. You just say, in the name of Jesus, healed. The Bible never says you need to pray a long prayer. You just say, in the name of Jesus, I speak healing to you. That's it. But in the anointing with oil, the Bible says that you need to pray by faith in the name of the Lord. So when you anoint somebody with oil, you can just pour the oil on them and say, in the name of the Lord, I pray that you shall be healed today. Or you can anoint with oil and lay hand at the same time. It can be done either way, anointing with oil, or you can anoint with oil and lay hand also and pray in the name of the Lord. Amen. Are you following me? Do I make you confused? I try to say that when you lay hand on the sick, you don't need to pray a long prayer. You just say, in the name of the Lord Jesus, healed. When you anoint people with oil, you don't need to lay hand on, but it's okay to lay hand on the sick as well when you anoint with oil and you pray in the name of the Lord by faith. When you look at this scripture in James chapter 5 verse 14, we learn something from this scripture. We learn that, number one, anointing with oil is used only for believers. Because the Bible says, among you, in James chapter 5. James was writing this letter to the believers in the church. He did not write this letter to the non-believer. He said, among you. Among who? Among the members of a local congregation. So one thing that we learn from this scripture is that, number one, God saying that if you are sick, the first thing you need to do is to seek God's healing. Don't seek the doctor first. Amen. Let me repeat one more time. Whenever you feel sick, don't call the doctor first. Call on God first. It can be you pray for yourself, or if you don't have enough faith or strength to pray for yourself, you call the elders of the church to come and anoint you with oil in the name of the Lord by faith. Pray by faith. Call on God first. It's not wrong to call the doctor, but call the doctor later on. Call the doctor in heaven first. Call God first. Can you promise God that from now on, if you're sick, you're going to call on God first? Amen. If you call the doctor first without calling God first, you are, number one, shutting the door on the healer, God the healer. Number two, you are trying to tell God that, God, you know, you're not good enough for me. I believe that the medical doctor is better than you. I'm going to run after the human medical doctor before you. You are trying to tell God that God is not good enough for you. Therefore, if you know God is better than medical doctor, you need to call on God first when you are sick. Lacking of this teaching in the body of Christ caused so many Christians to be sick nowadays. They keep running after looking for doctors and medical doctors, but rarely people pray to God and ask God to help them. And that's why sickness is everywhere in the church nowadays. I'm not talking about our church here. I'm talking about in general in the churches around the world. They close the door of their home. They close the door of their church to the healer named the Lord Jesus Christ. The Jehovah Rapha. The Jehovah who heal. Amen. God the healer. So we need to call on God first. And nothing wrong to run to the hospital. But call on God first before you run to the hospital. Or you call to make the medical appointment with some doctor. Amen. When I get sick, I'm going to call on God first, not on the doctor first. The second thing we learn from this lesson is that not only that we should call on God first, God expects every Christian to be a member of a local church and know the elder of that church. The elders know them and they know the elders. Amen. It's not God's will at all to be a Christian and floating around from church to church without committing himself or herself to a local congregation. You need to know the name of your pastor. You need to know the names and the telephone number of your elder so you can call. How many people know my home phone number? Many of you don't know. Okay. That's okay. You can call Pastor Caesar. He's the elder. Or you can call Mary Jo and Neil, the elders of the church. If you don't know their number, I can give you soon. I know Pastor Caesar's phone number. So you need to know their name and number. Every Christian should be committed to a local church. Amen. Don't float to many churches or don't float around without commitment. You need to commit. And in that church, you will get protection. You get prayed for. People love you, pray for you all the time. You are under the umbrella or covering or protection from God. The third thing you learn is that not only you should be the member of the local church, listen carefully, those who are going to be elder one day, those who are going to be pastor one day. Like Jonathan and Joanne, one day will be a pastor. Is that right? Amen. If you become a pastor one day, some of you may be a pastor. A woman can be a pastor too. Nothing wrong about that. Listen carefully. You may be a pastor one day. You become an elder of the church one day. Elders and pastors in the church must be ready to minister to the sick. Some people may think this way. Pastor Lau, because you are the doctor, you are the neurosurgeon, you see patients all day. Yes, definitely. You have a special burden for the sick people. You preach about laying on of hand all the time. You talk about healing the sick all the time because you are the doctor. Yes, part of it, because I'm a doctor, so I hate sickness. I want to punch sickness. I want to just, I hate sickness very much because I see people sick people all day long. Every single day I see sick people, so I'm mad at sickness. But even though you are not a doctor, even though you are not dealing with sick people all the time, but you must be ready to minister to the sick. You must be ready to minister by faith. You need to know how to lay hand, how to anoint with oil. You need to build your faith up. You need to listen to the sermon about this issue. You need to grow in your faith about healing. Amen. You cannot say, it's not my job. It's Pastor Lau's job. It's Pastor Cesar's job. No, every single elder, everyone who is leading in the church should know how to minister to the sick. Because you may be called one day. When I was walking into the room, around 7 p.m., somebody told me, I call you Dr. Pastor Lau, but you were on the airplane to Las Vegas. So, somebody else in the church needs to minister to that person. Pray, lay hand, and believe God for healing. Everyone say, I should be a member of a local church. I should learn how to minister to the sick. Amen. Now I want to make a conclusion of this teaching. I want to make a conclusion. If we want the laying on of hands to work for us or for people around us, we have got to believe it. We must believe that the laying on of hand works. We must add faith into the laying on of hands. If you lay hand on people or you receive the laying on of hand without faith, it's just another piece of ritual furniture in the church. Nothing will happen. Nothing will happen without faith. You must mix faith with the laying on of hand. Whether the laying on of hand to give healing, to receive the Holy Spirit, to receive the fire of God, to receive the blessing, to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Whatever you want to minister the laying on of hand, you must have faith. You must receive by faith. You must believe in the anointing of the man who ministered to you. That's the reason why I live my life carefully. I don't want to offend or I don't want to stumble anybody, because if people still start to be stumbled by my life, they will start to look down on my anointing, and then they cannot get the benefit from me. Have you ever heard the word familiarity? I just want to encourage all the adults in this group, in this church, and the parents in the church, that you need to teach your children to show honor and respect to elders and pastors in the church. I need to talk to the congregation that we need to teach our young people to respect the anointing in people's life. Respect adult, respect anointing. Because you know what? If they don't respect adult, how can they receive the teaching and receive the anointing and the power of God from that person? And that's what happened in Jesus' life. In Mark chapter 6, verse 5, the Bible said that now he could do no mighty work there. That means in Nazareth. Nazareth is where Jesus was growing up. So the people in that city saw Jesus as a carpenter. He was just another carpenter. He grew up, he used to run with them, and now he became an anointed man. He prayed for people. But because they looked down on him, they did not trust him, even though he was so anointed. He has so much anointing. The anointing, the Bible says in John chapter 3, verse 33, that Jesus has the Spirit without measure, meaning that the level of anointing in his life is unlimited. Can you imagine? But the Bible says he couldn't do no mighty work there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. This scripture teaches two things. If you don't respect the anointing of the person who lay hand on you, you may not get anything. Two, you need to live a life that causes people to respect you. Your words, your behavior, your action, your lifestyle that people will respect. You have a life of integrity, have a life of honor, so people will receive the anointing. Not only that, we learn from this scripture that many times things may not work except laying on of hand. Jesus could not do mighty work except he laid hand on a few people. So the laying on of hand is so powerful. Even Jesus used that to bring healing to people, miracle to people. In Mark chapter 8, verses 22 to 24, I can read a few scripture here. And you can see that in the time of Jesus, people did not say like this, let's go to Jesus and let him heal you. This is how they say. In Mark 8, 22-24. And he came to Bethsaida, and they brought a blind man to him and begged him to touch him. You notice that the people in that generation did not say, brought a blind man to him and begged him to heal him, but say to touch him. They believe in the power of the laying on of hand. They believe that when Jesus lay hand on the sick, on the blind man, the power will go through and something will happen. They emphasize the word touch more than healing. So he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. How many people wonder why Jesus has to take the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town? My guess is this. I don't know exactly for sure. But my guess is this, that Jesus wants to move by faith. Maybe in that situation, and I have to admit to you, one of the most difficult times to minister. When I began to minister, and some people look at me and make their face like, I don't believe this. This is crazy. This is a fake. They'd sit there and have doubt. Oh, I tell you, sometimes I have to shut my eyes and don't look at them. Because really kill my faith. You need faith to minister, is that right? For example, when I went to Bangkok, and when I say, I'm going to lay hand now, and I saw about 200 people run out to the front line. Oh, I tell you, the faith rise up. Because their faith draw my anointing. And I was encouraged that these people believe in the anointing in my life. They believe in me, and I'm going to believe for them too. So it's the faith that really draw the anointing from one another. Amen. So in the meeting, when people start to kind of doubt and question and really sarcasm in their heart or ridicule, it really affect the minister to lay hand on people. I believe that at that time, Jesus took him out because he might be affected by somebody around there who was sitting there and kind of, just a boy, Jesus Christ here. How come he ministered? When he had spit on his eyes and put his hand on him, did he pray? Jesus did not pray. Jesus spit on his eyes. Should I do that in the church? I think it would be fun, huh? Spit on your ear, spit on your hair, okay? And put my hand on you. And without even pray, I think I can wipe out this church very fast. The church would shrink in 1 week, people just leave the church and go to other church. He asked him if he saw anything, and he looked up and said, I see men like trees walking. Can you imagine? Even Jesus lay hand one time, the healing was not complete. And you know what happened after that? He lay hand again. Is it okay to lay hand many times until you get complete healing? Yes. Even Jesus did the same thing. He lay hand so many times until he got the healing. Amen. That's why the Bible talks about going deeper and deeper. To go deeper in the Spirit, go deeper in the healing, in the power of God. In Luke chapter 22, verse 51, but Jesus answered and said, permit even this. And he touched his ear and healed him. You notice that Jesus did not pray. Jesus just touched and healing happened. Wow, I like that. How many people want to live your life that way? The longer I walk with Jesus, one thing I have a desire in my heart. I want to become like Jesus. Really, I'm not trying to say this just to stir you up, but it's really from the bottom of my heart. I really want to be like Jesus. I want to have a pure heart like him, a sinless life like him. I want to be loving like him. I want to be compassionate like him. In fact, sometimes the compassion drives you so much. I told Pastor Da, when I went to Las Vegas, I saw all these sheep. They did not have a pastor. They have only the church who pioneered the church, but they did not have pastor. And when I saw all these 20, 30 people, my heart just draw to them and just come out to them. And I remember the scripture say in the book of Matthew chapter 9 that the Lord Jesus saw these people, they are like sheep without shepherd. I just want to go back there. I don't want to go to the airplane. I just want to stay there to help them to be their pastor. I say, I will come back to help you. They are sheep without shepherd. I want to have that heart. I want to be compassionate like Jesus. But not only that, I want to be like Jesus, that I can preach the gospel. I can preach the word of God in the anointing. And when I lay hand on the sick, they shall recover. When I lay hand on the demonized person, the demon will go out. I want to be like Christ. Amen. And definitely, if he wants me to go to the cross of my life, carry the cross, I would do too. I will be willing to suffer for him for the sake of the gospel. Amen. Look at the last scripture here. In Mark chapter 7, 32, 33, and 35. Then they brought to him one who was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. And they begged him to put his hand on him. The Bible did not say the Jewish people begged him to pray for him, but to put his hand on him. When you read this scripture, you can see now how many Christians in the world are missing this issue. Oh, pray for me, please. Can you intercede for me? Can you go home and fast and pray for me for 10 days so I can get healed? Actually, you should come and say, touch me. Is that right? You should not come and say, pray for me. Come, touch me. Because that's what the Bible says. They beg him to put his hand on him. Come and touch me. Amen. That's the biblical thing. And he took him aside from the multitude. The same thing. He took him aside. I think he wanted to have faith. He did not want anyone to bother his ministering time. And put his fingers in his ears. And he spat and touched his tongue. He didn't pray. He didn't say anything. He just touched. Immediately, his ears were open. I like to do like that. Just touch somebody and the ear open like that. Speak. The impediment of his tongue was loose and he spoke plainly. My dear brother and sister, I'm going to keep pressing into God until this happened in my life. It doesn't happen yet, but I'm going to keep pressing in. That this is going to happen in our church. We're going to see signs and wonders happen in our life. You may be following me right now in this area, but if you keep following and you keep growing, it's going to happen. Amen. We still have many years to go to serve God. And I believe one of these days we're going to see something like that, that what Jesus did in his lifetime. Let me read one more scripture here that God remind me to read. In Mark chapter 16, and this is the promise to all of you and me. You remember, go and preach the gospel to every creature. And in my name, they shall cast out demons, they will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Look at the scriptures here. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Amen. I pray that our church is producing the people that is full of the fire of God, full of the fire of the Holy Spirit, obeying the word of God, and go out to cities and nations, preaching the gospel, making disciples, and when they lay hand on the sick get healed. When they lay hand on people, demons come out. Signs and wonders will happen in the end time. I believe that from our church, these people are going to go out all over the world. And thank God for many students in this room. One day you're going to go in all over the world to preach the gospel. Amen. Amen. The word of God is for all of us today. What I read is not just for 2,000 years ago. It's for today. But we're going to have to press in. We're going to have to believe it. We're going to believe that God can do that in this generation. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. But we need to be hungry. We need to yield. We need to say, God, come and fill me up. God, increase my faith. God, give me more experiences in the Holy Spirit. God, I want to be used of you to preach the gospel like that. God, I want to lay hand on the sick and they shall recover. Use me, Lord. It has to start from your desire. God will never force anyone because God is a gentleman. But I want that desire. I have that desire. I want to lay hand on the sick and they shall recover. Amen. How many people are hungry to be used by God? How many people say, God, anoint me and use me like that? Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. How many people have been healed by the laying on of hand? Raise your hand up. You will lay hand on and you get healed. Amen. Hallelujah. How many people are sick tonight? Anybody sick tonight? Why don't we believe that God heal you? Amen. Those who are sick, come out here. I will lay hand on you. And believe God for healing. Come by faith. This is not a ceremony. This is not a ritual. But receive by faith. Believe that God will make you whole. God will heal everything in your life. Make you whole. Come with your request. Come by faith and believe in God. Hallelujah. When I lay hand on you, you receive by faith. When I pray, I read this scripture to you. You know, oil represents the power of the Holy Spirit. Even though I don't pour oil on you tonight, but the same Holy Spirit can work in your life. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 11, but if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. When I pray, lay hand on you, believe that there is an impartation of the life of God into your life. The life of God. The life of God from heaven. Believe that. The life of God. Stretch out the hands of faith to heaven right now and receive the healing. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Yes, Lord. Heal in the name of Jesus Christ. Heal in the name of Jesus Christ. Heal in the name of Jesus Christ. Healed in the name of Jesus Christ. Healed in the name of Jesus Christ. Healed in the name of Jesus Christ. Right now. Yes, Lord.
We trust this message has ministered to you. If you would like more information about New Hope International Church or other teaching series, please contact us at 206-275-1042 or visit our website online at www.newhopeinternationalchurch.org. You may also write to us at the following address: New Hope International Church, 9170 Southeast 64th Street, Mercer Island, Washington, 98040. Thank you very much.